We're telling you a lot more detail about what the three schemes would entail. First of all, we're telling you what we think they would cost, both to the promoters themselves, but also what the associated public expenditure costs, because there would be some expenditure on road and rail access to a much expanded airport. We are telling you what the noise implications will be, what the air quality implications will be, how they will affect the local environment in terms of how many houses would have to be knocked down to build them, what the impact on the local infrastructure would be. So an awful lot of detail, which I think people have a right to know so that they can properly react to what these proposals are.
And when they react, what impact will their reactions have? Over this three-month consultation period, if people do get in touch and they do make points, how is that sort of filtered into the thinking?
Well, we've set out a set of assessment criteria related to each of these airports. That's something we consulted on earlier. We took people's responses to that and we set what the criteria are. So I guess the most useful consultation responses for us will be ones which relate the airport to the various different criteria that we are looking at and try to identify whether they are positive for those criteria or negative for them. We've also set out some rather novel approaches to trying to assess the impact on quality of life. You may have heard of these notions of mappiness, where people try to assess the balance of impact of an airport, or indeed any other development, on the way people feel about themselves. We'd be very interested in particular in whether those measures actually capture the impact of an airport on people who live near it.
At the moment, Heathrow has two options. Gatwick has the one, which is an expansion of Gatwick and an extra runway at Gatwick. The Gatwick option is the cheapest, isn't it?
Yes, the cheapest. Of course, when we say cheap, we're talking here about costs that would be borne by the promoters. Because in each of the three cases, the idea is that the private owners of the airports would be funding them. But yes, the Gatwick option would be cheaper for a variety of reasons. Gatwick is proposing a model of an airport which is rather different from that of Heathrow's. In other words, it doesn't have the complexity of Heathrow, which is a network hub airport which transfers your bags from one plane to another, from one terminal to another. That kind of thing is rather expensive infrastructure, and Gatwick is proposing a model which is rather different. So there's a very interesting choice of airport model to be made here.
Yeah, but that is really goes to the heart of it, doesn't it? Because we were told at one stage that we needed a hub. We spent an awful long time discussing on this programme, didn't we, the importance of a hub. And suddenly, not having a hub is right up there among the options.
No, I don't think that's quite right. We have never said that we don't need a hub. The issue is how big that hub should be and whether in future the growth in traffic is going to be primarily in low-cost, point-to-point, you know, the EasyJet, Ryanair model, or whether the growth will be biased towards the British Airways, American Airlines, Air France, KLM model of a global network. So we don't think there's any question that, of course, you need a hub, and we've got one in Heathrow. The question is, looking forward, where is the expansion going to be?
Yes, but that is the point, isn't it? What the Heathrow people say is that if it is going to be a viable hub in the longer term, then it needs to be expanded. Otherwise, we don't have a hub because it just won't be viable. It won't work as one in the longer term. And that's the decision, really, that we have to make.
Yes, that's what they say. If you look, in fact, at the last 10 years or so, you can see that it's low-cost traffic that's grown much more rapidly than full-service, all-singing, all-dancing network airlines. And the issue is what's going to happen in the future. So in this consultation, we also set out a number of scenarios for the future which try to tease out how robust these different airport models will be in different states of the world, because we haven't got a perfect view of how things are going to be in the future. But you're right to point that that's a big element of the debate, where we're going to want responses from businesses, from airports, from airlines, as to how they think the world is going to look in 20 years' time. That's the tricky bit.
So Howard Davis, thank you.
20.